The message this morning is Blasphemies, Great and Small. Chapter 12, starting at verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the dumb man spake and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, Can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This man doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casteth out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. For how can one enter into the house of the strong man and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Therefore, I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven, neither in this age nor in that which is to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Ye offspring of vipers, how can he being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for him who endured such contradiction of sinners. We are thankful that when he experienced them, he did not turn around and go back to heaven, but he endured them. We are thankful that he knew what was to happen when he came into this world, and still he came, and experiencing the things that he knew were to come upon him, he endured them. We thank you for this man, who is unlike any other man. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, our Father, that we shall heed the words that he spoke ever so carefully, understand the consolation, understand the danger, accept that these are the words from the mouth of the Son of God, who spake always the word that his Father would have him to speak. And only this can be done as thy Spirit works upon the hearts of all who are here. So by thy Spirit, our Father, prepare hearts to receive the word of God. Thou dost know that Satan would come and snatch away the word, or in some way pervert the truth that falls upon the heart. So, our Father, bring to naught the attacks of the evil one, and may something of lasting benefit be accomplished this morning. Thou knowest our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, because we confess them. Bless us this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Who ever heard of such a thing as a small blasphemy. As the Lord Jesus did. If he speaks about all sorts of blasphemies shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven, then there are small blasphemies and great blasphemies. And in case someone here is asking the question, am I guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I say without hesitation, no, because if you were, you would not be here. Unless, of course, you are like the scribes and the Pharisees who would feign themselves righteous and come and listen to the Savior to take hold on his words that they might accuse him. But there is no one who is not in this condition who can be able to boast, I have sinned against the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, we'll see what it means as we go along. But speaking of blasphemies great and small, the reason that this is so appropriate and that it must be understood is that as you read your King James Bible, you're reading of blasphemies ever so often, but you're not aware that they are blasphemies because of the way they're translated in our King James and in other Bibles as well. When you read that they railed on the Lord Jesus, that they heaped abusive speech on the Lord Jesus, then you are reading about blasphemies. Because the word blasphemy simply means injurious speech, abusive language, insulting language. You say, well then, if I use abusive language against my fellow man, you are blaspheming. And that's what we fail to understand, because the word simply means injurious speech. Because there are various ways that men can sin against you that are visible, that are perceptive to the senses. Right now, I'll give you one. When the Lord Jesus was asking his hearers when he was in the synagogue, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good? And he looked around to see if they would reply, and they would not open their mouths. And it says he looked round about on them with anger. And so the Bible speaks about the evil eye. And there are times when you've spoken words to individuals, and you have seen in their eyes that hatred, that evil, that wish that you could be destroyed. And so with the eye, there is evil, the evil eye. And in the portions that have the categories of sins that proceed from within out of the heart of man, you'll find the evil eye and blasphemies in that same category. And so if a man looks on you with an evil eye and hates you, it says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. But the difference in the evil eye and blasphemy is this, that at times what is in the heart of man cannot be contained within the heart of man. And he cries out against you, and he curses you, and he abuses you, and he reviles you. And when he does that, he is the blasphemer. And so I assume that all of us here understand and acknowledge that at one time or another we have been guilty of blasphemy. Not the great blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, but small blasphemies. And that's what the Lord is talking about. Because he speaks about blasphemies that can be forgiven. I'm glad of that. Suppose all of you who ever blasphemed against your fellow man, who said a harsh word, insulting words against man or woman, you could not be forgiven for that blasphemy. Who would go to heaven? And at the same time, there are greater blasphemies without the ultimate blasphemy. How many of us who were sinners, as I was in the past, have not blasphemed the name of God by taking it in vain? And suppose God held all of us responsible if we ever used his name lightly, and let me tell you how some men do it and do not realize that they are blaspheming God. I remember being in a freight depot at one time, wanting to have something mailed, asking whether it could be sent economically or if it was the expensive kind, and the man looked up in a book, and he saw it was the expensive kind, and he said, "Good God Almighty," he said, "it's the expensive kind." Now, isn't that humorous? You see, he didn't mean anything by it. But that man blasphemed God when he said that. And you hear it so much around you, and you hear God's name taken so often in vain, you do not realize it. But that is blasphemy against God. For that reason, I'm so thankful that all of us who have spoken disrespectfully, taken God's name in vain, have not reverenced it as we should. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus said, all blasphemies shall be forgiven. But if all of us who have taken the name of the Lord lightly, and some of women say this at times, "Good Lord, I didn't say, do you not understand that that is blasphemy? That is using the Lord's name in vain." But we don't understand it. You say, "Don't you think that's going too far?" Did you hear what the Savior said? He said, "Every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Now, what did he say? "Good Lord, I didn't know this." Don't you understand that that is an idle word? You say, "The Lord isn't going to hold me responsible." He just told you he was going to hold you responsible. Every idle word. And it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What does it mean? It means that you have not learned to treasure the name of God, to use it only at right times and in right ways. You use it in a loose way, and I say this, that at times evangelical Christians use the name of the Lord as if it were the name of any ordinary people. They speak so intimately to him, not reverently, but intimately to him, that they are guilty, as the disciples were, of familiarity with our Lord. Let me give you an example. The Savior was surrounded by multitudes, and the woman with an issue of blood came behind and touched his garment. And the Lord Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said to him, "Now don't you see everybody's bumping into you, jostling you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' Don't you understand that that is irreverent? There are so many people that talk to the Lord. I remember reading a book of prayers, and this is the way one modern individual did. He would say, 'Hey, Jesus.' That's the way he would speak to him. He said, 'He's my buddy.' He said, 'Hey, Jesus, I'm going to talk to you now, and so tune in to what I'm saying to you.' And some people think that's ever so clever, do you see? That's the modern way to do it. But it's blasphemy. Do you not understand that? And so we're guilty of blasphemies, great and small, and we're not even aware of it. And so when I speak disrespectfully of you, I am abusing you, I am using insulting language about you, and that is blasphemy. And that is the greatest consolation of all that I've read to you in this passage about blasphemy, in that they can be forgiven. What if the Lord said that no one but people who had never sinned could go to heaven? Then who would go to heaven? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what if those who came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Well then, I have not sinned," and one did tell him that. He said, "Lord, I kept all the commandments from my youth." And the Lord exposed the man and showed him what was latent in his heart that he did not know was there. And so for that reason, I rejoice that the Lord has shown me how miserable a sinner I am, and yet I would give a different definition to what he called blasphemy, insulting speech for my fellow man, the way that I use the name of the Lord in a light, frivolous way. And he says, "You're responsible not only for the great blasphemies, but the lesser blasphemies as well. Every idle word that a man will speak." we criticize the Jews, but I thank God for this. That ineffable name, the name Yahweh, they would not speak it. They would even change to other words rather than defile that name by uttering it. And when they printed it, they would be clean before they wrote the name of the Lord. And we use it so evidently and so frivolously. Thank God we can. We can pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But do it with a clean heart. Do it reverently. And let not your speech be idle. Let it not be unfruitful, unproductive. Let it not be banal, but let it be intelligent speech. And when you use the name of the Lord, use it with purpose and with conviction, because the name of the Lord is a high tower. And let us not use it as the Jews, who would not use that special name of the Lord. They would go around mentioning God without using that name. They would say this, "I swear by my head." You see, they're not going to say, "I swear by God." They know better than that. "And so I swear by my head." The Lord Jesus said, "You cannot make one hair black or white." There were ways of getting around it. And so finally the Lord Jesus said, "Let your speech be yea and nay. Be straightforward." So at times, we do not curse with our lips. And we do not attack a man with our hands, but we look on them with evil eye. And at times, behind their backs, we use abusive speech. And so for that reason, all of us have been guilty of blasphemy. Who can say, "I have never uttered a word, I have never cast an evil eye against any man"? Thank God for that individual. You will be one that is hard to convince that you are a sinner. And yet the Lord Jesus said, "If you then being evil," I want to tell you something about this, it's so interesting. You're looking upon one who is evil, even though I've been born again, because the Lord Jesus says concerning his disciples about when you pray, "Say, Our Father which art in heaven," and then he said, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, even though you've been born again, you still are evil, because there is sin that dwelleth in you. But thank God, there is not only sin that dwelleth in me. There is that new man that is being renewed unto righteousness." And so the Lord can say concerning me, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children." But at the same time, he can say, "Now, you are a new creature. You are one who has put on the new man." Whereas those to whom he's speaking, he can only say, "If you then being evil," out of their heart that only proceed evil things. Why? Because they were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and there had never been a change. They had never been born again. And the Lord Jesus is telling them, "If you then, being evil," and he speaks about coming out of the treasure of your heart. Think now. Here are two illustrations. You look at a tree, and a child that looks at a tree in the summertime when the fruit is there, and say, "That is an apple tree. That is a peach tree. That is a pecan tree." Any child can see that. But what Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. And at the same time, he says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And if you heard me take God's name in vain, what kind of heart would be uttering that vanity? You would say, "Why, that evil heart. Indeed. And if I, as with sincerity now, I bless the name of God, you would understand that out of the good treasure of my heart, I uttered that name." And for that reason, all of you who say, "A man is justified by faith," the Bible teaches that. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." But the Bible also says, "A man is justified by his words." Did you know the Lord Jesus taught that? "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." What does it mean? That all I have to say is, "Lord, Lord, my words justify me." If those words proceed from the heart, yes. Because the Savior said, "Out of the abundance of the heart,
the mouth speaking. And it out of the abundance of your heart, that heart that has been worked upon by the Spirit, you have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then, if you say, Lord, Lord, then you are justified by those words. Why? The words did not justify you, but they were an audible manifestation of the condition of your heart. That is why. It shows that you have faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's why when it says in 1 Corinthians 12 that no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit, that is genuinely, truly, reality. Any man can say, Lord, Lord. Why, I've heard some say, this is the King of Israel. They called him the King of Israel. But it was in sarcasm. And some in the coming day are going to say, Lord, Lord. But they're not doing that of the Holy Spirit. So if a man, out of the abundance of his heart, calls Jesus Christ Lord, then that shows audibly what is the true condition of the heart which is inward. Here is a tree, and the root is manifested by the fruit. And here is speech, and I'm speaking of truth of heart, and the true condition of the heart is manifested by the speech. You ask, tell me concerning the Messiah, whose son is he? And a man says, why, he's the son of David. And the Savior says, why then doth David call him Lord? And they wondered about that. And so if a man, with his heart enlightened of the Spirit of God, receiving that enlightenment, says, Jesus Christ is Lord, then he confessed with his mouth. But when he does, you cannot confess with your mouth unless you have already believed in your heart. You have believed in your heart, and the confession always comes with your mouth. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said that because something had taken place in his heart. So that's what it means when the Savior is talking about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and a tree is known by its fruit. One, you look and see, this is an apple tree, a peach tree, a pecan tree. The other, you hear, that man cursed the Savior. That man glorified the Savior. One is audible, one is visible. And the Lord says, I want it to be one way or another. Either make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, or make the tree good and its fruit good. The Lord tells us that. He says the same thing in the book of Revelation about lukewarm people. He wants us to be positively good. He wants us to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. But that is anticipating the things that Paul tells us in Romans 6. But understand these things. Now, about blasphemies, concerning the blasphemies of us, there is personal blasphemy, there is persuasive blasphemy, and there is causative blasphemy. Personal blasphemy, I have been guilty of it. In the past, when I was first saved, you do not change immediately. Some, perhaps, stop sinning and never sin. At the first, there was a carrying over of that evil of the past. And so, eventually, thank God, cursing no longer proceeded out of my mouth. But I have been guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. In fact, most of those that I went to school with, I suppose at one time or another, they would. I trust to God there were some who would not, but we use the name irreverently. But so often is it used today, that now, without censorship, we hear it as you're looking at some program that is supposed to be harmless on television. That is the sad thing. And so, yes, I have been guilty in that respect. I have personally blasphemed. If blasphemy is using abusive language, insulting language, yes, I have been guilty of that. Others have as well. But let me tell you about blasphemy. How some of us, in taking God's name in vain, that isn't so startling anymore. But I can remember being in a pool room at one time, and to show you, being in the midst of these sinners, there was one man that would play pool, and if he were trying to make a shot, and he missed it,
he would address Jesus Christ by name and start cursing him and insulting him. And all the other sinners in the pool room were ready to run out the door, let lightning come from heaven and destroy them all. That shows you how sinners in the past were afraid of blasphemy, were afraid of cursing, using insulting language toward not only the Father, but the Son as well. And yet here is one man that could do such a thing. So, I have been guilty of that language, others have, and yet never in that sense that I personally addressed God and cursed him and reviled him, but taking his name in vain in the ways that I've shown you previously, all of those ways, yes. But there is also persuasive blasphemy. Paul was guilty of that. Paul would never have been guilty of personal blasphemy. He never would have taken God's name in vain. But he said that he went around and he tried to persuade the Christians to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only ones that I would try to get to blaspheme would be those that were followers of men other than the Lord Jesus, and I would ever be so hesitant about that. But there are those that persuade some against Christ. Elymas the sorcerer was such a man. And when the Apostle Paul saw that he tried to turn Sergius Paulus away from the truth of God, he said, "Thou son of the devil, you are full of all guile and villainy, you enemy of all righteousness." You see, Elymas the sorcerer was trying to get Sergius Paulus to blaspheme, to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Apostle Paul would capture these Christians, he would attempt to get them to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some of us are not only blasphemers, but some would persuade other men against the Lord Jesus. There are some of Orthodox religions around the world, not Christianity, but Orthodox religions. And if they cannot persuade you to denounce the name of Jesus, they would put you to death. And the Apostle Paul said, "I thank him that enabled me, that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service, though I was before a blasphemer and injurious." He said, "How be it, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief." But Paul said, "I was a blasphemer." And he tells us in the book of Acts that he not only was personally guilty of blasphemy, he said, "I sought to get others to blaspheme the name that I hold now above every name." You say, "Well, I'm so glad that in my life, it may be that I've been guilty of a small blasphemy, of using the name of the Lord lightly, but I've never taken his name in vain. I, at the same time, have never tried to persuade anybody to blaspheme the name of God or the name of Jesus." But have you been guilty of causing other people to blaspheme? Have you? I think that most of us evangelicals have. I've seen it so many times, and perhaps that's why I don't have bumper stickers on my car. They'll say, "I am a Christian, so and so and so and so." And they will commit some infraction and almost cause you to have an accident. They are doing something that's wrong, and they're advertising themselves as Christians. You've seen that before, you see. And what do? They cause something to take place in your heart. And I can remember this. I believe that I was innocent, but at one time, years ago, I worked for a driving school. And when you come to an intersection, if there is time, you may turn right. But a car was coming toward me, and I turned right an abundance of time. But after I turned right and I was going on my way, the car that was coming toward me, he opened the window, and he used vile, blood-chilling blasphemy against God because I had dared to turn right in front of him. Now, suppose I had been guilty, and I had been one that almost caused him to have an accident. He had to put on his brakes to avoid having an accident. I would have been the one that caused that man to blaspheme. And David was guilty of causing people to blaspheme. He is the one who had Uriah the Hittite put to death. And when Nathan came to him and he said, "Thou art the man," David said, "I have sinned." And Nathan said, "The sin against the Lord is forgiven. It shan't be held against you." He said, "Nevertheless, thou hast given great occasion amongst the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Now tell me, have you? What in your life have you done that caused others to look and say, if that is Christianity, I want nothing of it? David was guilty of it. Great occasion for the enemy to blaspheme. Let me ask you this. All of the scandals on television lately by these world-known evangelists, do you think that the name of God and of Jesus has been blasphemed? You say, indeed, it has. In fact, it used to be that at times, if I wanted a favor, I would tell people I was a preacher. But nowadays, I'm afraid to tell them that I'm a preacher. You understand? Why? Because great cause is given to the enemies of God and of Christ to blaspheme. Why? Because of the behavior of these men. And I say with fear and trembling, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I say that perhaps in lesser ways, people have looked at my errant behavior, and they have cursed God. And so, have you been guilty of blasphemy? You say, perhaps I have. Let me again speak of the consolation. All sins and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. And so we are guilty in that respect. But Jesus is too. Do you understand that Jesus is guilty of blasphemy? You say, how could he be? Why, he was accused no less than 3 times of blasphemy. And I'm going to tell you what blasphemy is. It is not only insulting or abusive language against God. And I'm so thankful that all accusations never hinted at that. The Lord Jesus never spoke a disrespectful word toward his Father. He never used the name of his Father in a light, frivolous manner. There was always that infinite reverence toward his Father. But they just accused the Lord Jesus of blasphemy in the portion that I read to you. They said, this man, by Beelzebub, doth cast out demons. And the Lord Jesus tells us in chapter 10 of Matthew that they called him Beelzebub. And so, for this reason, Jesus is accused of blasphemy. Why? If I were up here, inspired of Satan, you understand? Then, that would be blasphemy. Because it's not only what you do, it's whether you're in collusion with the enemy. But let me give you a concrete example of the Lord Jesus in his accusation of blasphemy. They blaspheme the Lord. This is an example of the blaspheming of the Lord. But here is our Savior accused of blasphemy. The Lord Jesus said, and that paralytic was let down through the roof, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Jews said among themselves, this man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, blasphemy is also attributing to yourself divine prerogatives. And so the Lord Jesus said that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. But when the Lord Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee, they said, blasphemy. And so the Lord Jesus was a blasphemer. You say, that's not blasphemy. No. But they accused him of blasphemy. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They said, blasphemy. Why? You being a man, make yourself God. That is blasphemy. And then when our Savior, just before he was crucified, was questioned of the high priest, he said, are you the Son of the Blessed? And the Lord Jesus said, I am. And he said, you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming upon the clouds of heaven in glory. And the high priest rent his garments and said, this man hath blasphemed. You've heard the blasphemy. They said, he's worthy of death. And so Jesus was a blasphemer. And I thank God for every accusation of blasphemy brought against him falsely. And yet he was a blasphemer in this respect. He forgave sin. Thank God for that blasphemy. He's forgiven my sins. And he said, I'm one with the Father. Thank God he's God manifest in the flesh. And he said, I'm going to come on the clouds of heaven and I'm going to sit at the Father's right hand. And Stephen saw him in heaven
standing at the right hand of God, and he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, and he's going to come back, and he's going to receive me to himself. Thank God for every blasphemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is not blasphemy, it is the truth. If I say I and God are one, that is blasphemy, because I am a sinful creature. The Lord Jesus was without sin, and before Abraham was, he said, I am. He is the eternal one. And the Lord Jesus had authority on earth to forgive sins. And when he forgave sins, his Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the Lord Jesus also said he was coming again, and everything he told me that could be put to the test has come to pass. And for that reason, I believe that other blasphemy is going to come to pass when he said, I'm going to come back from heaven on the clouds. And so they are the only blasphemies that Jesus Christ our Lord can be accused of. Blasphemies that are not blasphemies, but that are true if he is the Son of God. But if he is not the Son of God, then he is the worst of blasphemers. And that is what you have to decide. Am I cast my faith in him that he is one with God, that he has authority on earth to forgive sins, and that he's coming back again to receive me to myself? Am I staking my eternity on the truthfulness of the Lord Jesus? Yes. In the past, Paul could say, I was injurious and I was a blasphemer. Howbeit, I obtained mercy. Do you understand that sinners and injurious ones and blasphemers can obtain mercy? But they only obtain mercy by calling upon the name of the Lord. Have you done that? If so, then all your sins and blasphemies can be forgiven, and they shall be forgiven. Call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, for every sin and blasphemy, great or small, that we have ever committed, our Father, we are thankful that it has been forgiven. Those of which we are ignorant, our God, we say, forgive them. We confess them. Thy Son speaks of idle words, how often we use them. So let the name of the Lord be reverenced upon our lips, and let us not take it loosely, frivolously, let us not take it in vain. But, our Father, let us reverence that name, because it's the name that is above every name. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we embrace him for all eternity as our hope for the past, the present, and the future. We thank you for him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.